Please welcome with me Fatboy. Give him a round of applause over here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's great.
I hope you're all okay.
Wow. It's great to see you. We've always heard about you, the Sanyu FM breakfast show, and you and the whole crew. Well, these are Makerere University students. Anyone? Wow.
Good to meet you guys. I can see that the place is full of brilliant, beautiful, wonderful young guys and girls. So, hey guys, I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Wow. Please give him a round of applause again. Now, two things you need to know about him. Two, three things. One of them, how many of you are doing economics here? BCom. This is your OB. Please give him a round of applause here. He also has a diploma in philosophy. Am I having that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
From the University of London. We have so much. Is your OB?
OB.
You have an OB over
wait,
there.
Wait, do we have any philosophers in here?
No, we do. He's talking about London. I think there is no London in Kamuri.
You're in London, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I was there too.
He's the editor or the founder of Free Thinking Kampala.
I'm a founding member of Free Thought Kampala.
Free Thought Kampala, that blog. .wordpress.com.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's very true. Very many things. We have something very big on his profile, and he's going to be here with us this evening. But also in the same light, we have a man who has a bachelor's in social sciences. He has a master's in public administration? He has a PhD in public health. And he is a man whom you all know as Musumba DJ. Welcome with me, Musumba DJ. Ha. The former East African breakdance champion. What? Go! Show us some breakdancing. You're welcome.
I broke my leg last time I died.
Good to be here.
Apparently, he's having a simple fracture. Is it a compound or it is a simple?
Hello. A winning boy. A winning boy. A prime time boy. A prime time boy.
Oh yeah.
A fat boy. Fat boy. Oi. A James O'Neill. Oi. A debating. Oi. A checking the future of Uganda through debate. Oi. A microphone. Oi.
Wow, this microphone will be on now. Now, Karicha, we are having three sequences of Karicha today. One is going to be in the break time. We are going to be having a break time, and there's going to be lots of Karicha exhibited in this place now. These two gentlemen that you see here are here for something amazing. And of course, we'll be having many more that is coming over from you. But, of course... Of the people I've met Dr. Martin Semper so often here at prime time, but for the very first time we are meeting James Onen. That is his real name. Now, if you never knew James Onen, and he's called Fat Boy. Now, I think the very first question, I think some people want to know why called Fat Boy, as in of all things, Fat Boy.
Well, I mean, isn't it self-evident? Just take a look at me. Look at this stomach. Isn't it big and fat? No? Look. Look at this. So that's why I'm called Fat Boy.
That's why you called
Fat Boy. To answer your question.
It reminds me of Fat Albert, but that's way back. You know Fat Albert? In the movie, yeah. The second thing people wanted to know, how have you managed to be on radio for the last 8 years? 8 years.
8 years.
Yeah.
Very long time, eh?
I was there for 2 years. I kicked myself out.
You know, in Uganda, we have a culture where when we enter into something, we tend to stick there.
Yeah, sure.
We don't like to give way for new people to come in and do the same job. Yeah.
So
it's the same spirit
yes,
with which I persevere in the radio industry.
Yes, please.
With no intention of giving way to any new blood. I'm the only one with the vision for radio in Uganda. Thank you.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Talking about vision, a few days ago, I think I read one of your posts. I follow the Free Thought Kampala blog. I was reading one of your thoughts, and I met an interesting article. An interesting article about, is it romantic love?
Romantic love, yes.
Yeah. Apparently, two things you need to know. Of course, I'll be adding in two more things that you need to know. Fatboy does not believe, according to the article, there is something like romantic love. If you are there seeking for romantic love, then you know it is null and void. If you are looking for that one, the one, that is null and void. If you are looking for a soulmate, that is vain confidence. Why don't you believe in romantic love? I read the post and I was like, who? I've been chasing after the wind for all these years.
Well, it really depends on what you mean by romantic love.
Yeah.
People define it differently. To the ordinary average person, romantic love seems to be some kind of magical thing that is just sort of there floating in the air. And if you're lucky, it will hit you. Like, you know, maybe the Cupid will fire an arrow in your heart and all of a sudden you'll be struck with attraction towards somebody and you are destined to be with this person forever and ever and ever and ever. If that's what people mean by love, yeah. I have doubts about that. I think what is actually taking place is a series of electrochemical processes in the brain. Depending on our interactions with people, the cues that, you know, the nonverbal cues that we perceive people giving off, our brain registers these things and sets off a reaction, a chain reaction of hormones that compels us to seek to bond with people, to seek to reproduce, to mate with people, to seek to nurture offspring with people like that. And it is that, you know, and there's a whole range of chemicals involved that create these sensations, whether it be envy, lust, like a bond you feel with someone. I mean, it's a mixture of things, and it's this collection of emotions that we experience, you know, as we continue with our drive to reproduce and to live in society, so that we call love.
But so it's not.
There's nothing magical about it.
It's not. It's not magical. It's not something real. It is something like a combination of physics, chemistry, mathematics, and biology rising up on the inside of you and creating this hormonal imbalance that you feel attracted to the.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. That's according to Fatboy. Now. That's, of course, directly opposite. Of course, I'll be coming up with the other question. Is it why you're still single? Because apparently, according to every other kind of clue that we have looked out for as journalists, I have a degree in journalism. For every kind of clue that we have...
I've
finished
good.
Up a master's in journalism. For every kind of clue I've looked around for, fat boy and engaged, fat boy and moving out has... brought NAR results from Google. Is it the reason why you're single?
Well, the reason I'm single has a lot to do with the issue of... You mean single as in unmarried?
Good. You are defining it better.
Okay. Because this is Kampala, and it's not very difficult to meet someone who you might misbehave with every once in a while. And
sure.
I'm saying, don't misbehave. Wait until you're married, like Pastor Sempa has been telling you all the time.
Sure.
All right?
Sure.
Save it for your wife.
What about you? What have you been saying all the time?
But me...
talk for yourself. You've been on radio for 8 years. Say your own ideology and philosophy. Me, I
Could
will say mine.
Would you also be waiting for that time?
But the reason I'm not married is simply because I am yet to encounter a reason as to why I should be married. If I meet someone who at least brings to, like, makes me consider these reasons, then I might just take the plunge. As
wow.
of now, everything I would, most people need a wife for,
yeah.
I can get.
You
either,
can.
For, you know, myself, things I can do myself, you know, looking after myself.
Uh-huh.
And again, I am of the view that as long as you're respectful towards another person, you can enter into consensual intimate relationships that are physical.
Sure.
Without necessarily being committed. Now, so I can enjoy that without being married to somebody.
So I'll be asking you more about the, you know, the considerations that you talked about, the considerations that we can look out to. But I just want to go to Dr. Martin, Pastor Sempa, as we all know you. Pastor Martin, did you experience romantic love? Or are you still experiencing romantic love with your wife?
Woo!
Tell us about, do you think that it's a, you know, there's molecules and the atoms are within you that are the ones driving that, or it is some kind of, you know, emotion that is, you know, something.
And I, we're hot. That's number one. But sure. Number two, on a philosophical level, I'd like to respond to what James Onen postulated. He said, love, which precedes marriage, is a combination of hormones, a combination of chemical molecules, electronic responses within the body, a combination of those.
Emotions.
Emotions. And this is where him and I part. Mm. You see, for me, I believe that there's something that sets apart a human being as different from an animal. That which makes us human is the capacity to appreciate beauty, is to have a sense of purpose, okay, is have a sense of faith, which animals do not have. For a naturalist like Fat Boy, everything must be reduced to chemicals, to hormones, to reactions. And if it cannot be reduced to that, then it does not exist. The difference between him and I is that I believe that there are some things which are there which I cannot reduce to chemicals and atoms. For example, the issue of love goes beyond. It may have a factor of hormones when they respond, but it transcends the ontological laboratory ability of putting it into a Bunsen burner.
Musumba,
just a moment.
I just wanted to ask him something, a question. How sure are you that emotional drive within you is not caused by potassium molecules?
Well, let me say, when God created man,
yes,
we are told in the book of Genesis that man was, God says, it is not good for man to be alone. There is a desire within man which cannot be satisfied by anybody except the Eve. So when Fat Boy says that I can actually meet all these needs which I do have, without the Eve in his garden, there is potential for problems. For example, you cannot have a man satisfying another man in terms of homosexual marriages, where Fat Boy and I have clashed. A man cannot be a wife to Fat Boy. He can be a friend. He can be a fellow, you know, whatever, but he cannot be a wife. So,
Pastor, before you get that way,
can I just respond to the chemical aspect? I just wish to interject that just because things are reducible to chemical components, they're chemical, you know, ingredients, it does not mean that you still can't appreciate it. For example, you know, I don't know what went into making this shirt. What went into making the meal I had for lunch. I mean, when I'm a consumer of alcohol, I know they distill it, there's some carbon molecules in there, sugars that are broken down, all kinds of things go into the process of manufacturing a lot of these things that we enjoy. Of course, this doesn't stop me from saying, oh, wait, I can't enjoy this glass of wine because I must analyze every molecule that's in there. No. I treat the wine as a glass of wine, I drink it, and I enjoy it. Similarly, when it comes to love, acknowledging that a lot of it, a lot of these feelings of attraction, of bonding, that we feel for people we care about, even if they are reducible to different brain states, which are further reducible to the interaction of various hormones and chemicals in the body, I can still appreciate. It does not stop me from appreciating the emotional rush that these sensations create. And in fact, I have fallen in love many times. I enjoy it. But even as I understand what's going on, it doesn't mean I can't let myself go once in a while. I mean, you as a human being are comprised of all kinds of atoms and molecules, but still, I look at you as a person. So acknowledging that things are reducible does not mean that I disregard, therefore, the things that are made up of these smaller components.
Okay, let's just get to the umbrella of it all. A human body is made up of these all sorts of molecules.
Yeah, you're made up of what you eat.
Of what I eat, of what
carbons,
I breathe.
Carbons, proteins, vitamins.
Something like that of the people I meet. But then, coming to the umbrella of it all, you're saying there is nothing on a human being that comes from a superior nature. Now, okay, just for the sake of it, the profile. I didn't exhaust the profile. He is a scientist. You know.
No, I'm not.
He's not a scientist. He believes in science. He's a humanist. You can call him a humanist, an atheist.
Atheist.
Atheist. Yeah. I read it in the Guardian. I never knew they were describing. I read the conference you had over there, but. You are saying there is no superior being that brings man to be. Man is just a combination of hydrogen, peroxide, and...
No, but let me ask you a very simple question. A very simple question.
Surely.
Have you ever seen a corpse? Like if today you died,
yes.
If you dropped dead where you're standing right now, and we checked on you a month later... We're going to come here and find that your appearance has changed. We're going to find that your body has decomposed, right? That the bacteria that's in your body will have eaten you up, maybe insects, other... Your body is going to start to break down to these simpler components until it returns to dust.
Sure.
You see, so I think to argue that we are not made up of these substances flies in the face of our everyday experience. Mm. We have seen dead things. We have seen them decay into smaller components. So why are you surprised when I tell you that I believe that's what a human being is?
Okay, I just wanted to interject because that's how Pastor comes in. The theologians, okay, not the theologians, the Bible reading, the Christians. There is somewhere it is written, Pastor, you'll help me. From dust man came and to dust man shall return. Could it be an explanation to what Fat Boy is talking about?
I think that Fat Boy, again, starting on the very point that we started off, that nothing exists which cannot be reduced to molecules and chemicals. He is saying that there's nothing within you which is beyond the physical that we see and the chemicals.
Uh-huh.
Because for him, reality is only those things that can be seen,
tangible,
touched, smelled, and connected. For me, I believe that what makes you beyond the body that we see, there is a spirit which cannot be measured in terms of a scale, okay? There is a soul which cannot be measured in terms of molecules or chemicals. You, while you are comparable to an animal that also has the same chemical makeup like the gorilla in windy, impenetrable forest, but there's something about you which transcends that. And that's what I call what makes us human. What makes us human is the capacity to appreciate beauty, which chimpanzees and gorillas cannot do. This is what makes us be human, to have a sense of purpose, to have a sense of morality, to have a sense of right and wrong, to have a sense of virtue. And this takes us to a secondary concept, the existence of a creator called God.
That's the question I wanted to come, is the question of that extra natural being who has these supernatural, superior capacities and tendencies to bring things forth. Tell us more about perspective.
The area for the same, you know, for Uganda, our foundation is built, if you look at the national anthem, "O Uganda, may God uphold you."
Uh-huh.
And as we are looking at the next 50 years, Fat Boy says, "O Uganda, may molecules uphold you." We lay our future in those hormones, those chemicals. United, free, free thinkers, but, for liberty, together with sand. Now, for me, I say, no, I'm still on the issue, oh, Uganda, may God uphold you. We lay our future in your hands, not in the chemicals. Those chemicals are created by God. I appreciate them. I'm just like you. For example, pheromones. Okay, for a long time, people did not understand the chemical makeup of people and how we react to pheromones.
Yes, please.
But what happens is, and this is why I'm so big on the issue of pornography. When you watch pornography, the brain releases certain chemicals which sent the signal to the rest of the body saying, prepare the body for sexual activity. Now, then the heart begins to beat faster. Then blood goes to the South Pole beyond the equator, okay, for most guys. And with a reduction of that capacity in the northern hemisphere, there is decreased capacity of rational thought, where they say, you know, difficult in decision making.
Yes.
Now, these hormones have been created by God. God has made them for us. I appreciate them. But before I go to watch porn or go into with another person, I decide, is it the right person? Is it the right gender? Is it the right circumstance? Because if not, I have the moral capacity to say no. Based on the creator, I say the designer, design determines the purpose.
James, you've heard what pastors talked about.
Yes.
Tell us about the non-existence of this superior being.
Well, let me start by explaining to you what I think is going on when people talk about concepts such as God, souls, angels, demons, ghosts, these kinds of things that I place into a category called superstition.
Superstition.
Yeah. Superstition is like, you know how some cultures have beliefs like, you know, don't sweep the house
at
a certain time.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, don't... A woman must not eat chicken, for example.
Grasshoppers.
Exactly. You know, when you ask, so why can't a woman eat chicken? You know, they'll tell you, no, that's just how it is. And so we have all these arbitrary rules and concepts that have been handed down over the generations that people have tended not to question.
Yeah, sure.
So when you talk about something like God, try thinking back at how the concept might have arisen. Because let's face it, we interact with nature through our senses, from what we can see, hear,
sure,
feel, and touch.
Sure.
Of course, this imposes certain limits on us, because our scope of knowledge is limited to what we're able to experience.
Mm-hmm.
Supposing there are things beyond the scope of experience that exist, we have no way of knowing. So, if a believer says there is such a thing as a God, and that this God is responsible for creating the universe and human beings and everything, you know, the first question I like to ask is, how do you know? And most of my experience has been that people will say, the Bible says so, right? Or the Quran says so. And I don't know if that's a good argument, seeing as there are Christians who I'm assuming don't believe in the Quran, and well, there are other religions with other books that say different things that you don't agree with. So obviously, just because something's written in a book doesn't make it a good reason. So then they will look around and say, you know, from our experience, things don't come out of nothing. When we see a thing, it was made by something. So the microphone I'm holding, we have seen people make these things in factories.
Sure.
The food we had for lunch, we have seen people make these things in kitchens. The cars we drive, we've seen the factories. Every instance of there being things, for the most part, we have noticed that people make them. So we look at things which, for which we don't have clear answers about how they came to be, like natural things, you know, mountains, planets, galaxies, you know, that sort of things, the things of nature, all right?
Yeah, sure.
Life and so forth. So from our limited experience with certain things, we extrapolate and say, because every time I've seen something come into being, a person was involved in making it happen, therefore, or bringing it into existence. Therefore, the universe itself must have also had someone who brought it into existence.
That's the question I wanted to ask.
Now, it's a very interesting question.
Because the thing would be, where did everything come from?
But, and you know what? I share with you the same curiosity and the same anxiety about the questions. But in looking for answers, we mustn't look for answers that make us feel happy or answers that conform with our traditions or the beliefs that were handed down by our parents. We should look for the truth.
Uh-huh.
And when I evaluate this question and someone tells me, well, a being brought it all into existence, the immediate question that pops into my mind is, okay, so then who created that being, right? And so a believer might say, or the pastor might say, I'll let him give his own answer, but I'm assuming he will say something like, God is eternal. God has always existed. God is the Alpha and Omega. You know, sort of he will rehash for me Christian dogma, and I will say, well, I have no reason to believe it. And if he says, well, then explain where everything came from, I'll say, I don't know. And if he says, well, that's what my religion teaches, you know, you go round and round and round. So we need to reach a point at which the question terminates. If a being is needed to bring a universe into existence, then that it implies, by that same logic, that this very being also needs a creator to bring it into existence. And if you're saying it doesn't need to have a creator, I must call you on a fallacy you're committing. Because you are not satisfied with me saying the universe just is,
uh-huh,
and yet you expect me to be satisfied with you saying God just is, I feel like we're on the same field.
Okay, the Christians.
Can I respond before you bring the next one?
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to take Fat Boy back to where we started. Fat Boy has made a decision, a presupposition, before he enters into the laboratory and the world of knowledge, that which I cannot see, that which I cannot touch,
I can't believe,
that which I cannot smell, cannot exist. Therefore,
that's incorrect.
Going back to the chemicals,
I'm saying that's incorrect. That's not my position.
Okay, going back to the naturalist, you reduced love. I go back to the very beginning. You said it is made up of chemicals.
That's where the evidence leads. Okay. We can see, we can look at brain scans to see which parts of the brain are stimulated. We can even synthetically reproduce these hormones.
We have already
administered them into people.
No, moderation
they
is mine.
Can
moderation
tell
is
us that
mine.
They experience these same emotions.
Moderation is mine. Members, moderation is mine. I will have to censor some...
can I finish?
Censor you a little bit.
Sorry.
Let me go straight to Pastor. Maybe let me just bring it out in the same question such that you can answer them, both of them. The issue of God, Christianity and the rest of the other religions that believe in God hold him responsible for everything that is. And of course, even for some things that come along, like morality, like ethics, like those inborn, unexplained principles. Tell us more about it as you bring it out.
I think that I will share with it in response to what Fat Boy says and in terms of where our country is going to go.
Yes.
When you have what Fat Boy says, that God cannot exist because I cannot experience him. He said,
I didn't say that.
He said the reality, he said that which I can't experience cannot exist.
I didn't say
you
that.
You said it.
I did not.
No, you said it.
I didn't.
You take it back. Okay, you take it back. Number two, because you said, how can I know if I can't experience it?
Yes.
That's a good question. That doesn't mean I don't believe there are things beyond.
Exceptions,
it just means...
Exceptions.
Allow me to finish.
Yeah, exceptions.
Allow me to finish. Then you can come back.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So, Fat Boy said that those things which I can't experience, I don't know how they can be there
because I can't prove them to be.
Sure.
Including the existence of God. Now, I told you at the beginning that for me, I believe that what makes man different from animals is the capacity to have a spirit which cannot be reduced to atoms. The spirit cannot be weighed. The spirit cannot be touched.
The spirit is...
The spirit is the dimension of God. When we look at the creation, we begin to ask ourselves, where did creation come from?
Sure.
Most of the scientists, current day scientific, the current scientific investigators who have given us, for example, Alfred Kepler, when you look at the people, Copernicus, who discovered that actually it's the earth goes around the sun. Many of these people were Christians, and they believed that God perfectly made the universe. And that created an environment of scientific research, because everything is mathematically precise. They did not believe in science as a God. They believed in the God who created science. The difference between Fat Boy and I is Fat Boy believes in science. I believe in the God who has created science, through which we can appreciate the depth, the breadth, the height, and the wisdom of God.
Okay, let me just come back to Fat Boy. Just elaborating in the same matter. How do you explain that there is no God?
Well, it depends. There are two approaches to this.
Yes.
All right? And yeah. I hope I don't get too technical.
Yeah.
One comes by way of a logical disproof. That is, if someone defines God in such a way that it is contradictory, it possesses attributes that cancel each other out, then such an entity cannot exist. Let me give you an example.
Sure.
If we define a square as a polygon with four sides.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, four edges.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Connected. Mm-hmm. And we define a circle as a polygon with no edges, but just a smooth, round object. If someone said, I believe there is such a thing as a square circle, well, those two things sort of contradict each other. It can't be a square and a circle at the same time.
Bring it to...
So to say that there is a square circle essentially is a logical contradiction. No such thing can exist. So now bringing it to the concept of, say, something like a God. If someone tells me that there is a perfect being, and perfect is defined by complete, whole, unchangeable, with no wants, no desires, because if you are perfect, you have no needs, no desires, because desires and needs are born out of deficiencies, you know? Why do I need to eat? Well, because my body is deficient of nutrients, and therefore I must eat food. Why do I need water? Well, my body is deficient of water or hydration, therefore I must drink. But then that renders me imperfect. If I have needs, it means I have a deficiency. So if you're going to say that there is such a being called a God, which is perfect, and at the same time you're going to say this being that is perfect has needs, wants, and desires, essentially you are admitting that this being has certain deficiencies. By definition, because if a being was perfect and without deficiencies, it would have no need for, say, a personal relationship. That craving would not exist. It would be indifferent
to any
of this.
So that brings up the supposition that that being does not exist.
So, in other words, once you come up with a concept of a being that has characteristics that contradict each other,
yeah, sure,
then logically such a being cannot be said to exist. So that's what I would call a logical disproof. That's one approach to it. But in truth, my own personal approach to the question is an evidentiary one. Uh-huh. I'm open to believing anything anyone proposes to me, provided they can give me good reason to believe it. I have not ruled out from the get-go that there cannot be a God. It's just I need a good reason. And so far, the reasons I've encountered have not been convincing. So if today, Pastor Martin can give me those reasons, I'd happily convert. So when people appeal to the unknown and say, look, there might be a realm out there that's undetectable to the senses. You can't hear it, see it. I'll say, sure, that's possible.
Pastor Martin.
Let me just finish this.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes.
I could also say that standing in front of us is an invisible giant pink elephant. Believe me.
Mysterious.
Mysterious. You would say, fat boy, are you high? What are you talking about? There is no... I would say, yeah, sure. But you have a presupposition that things you can't see can't exist. So therefore, if we're to rule out that presupposition, you must admit that there is quite possibly a pink elephant standing in front of us right here. And so that,
Pastor,
I think,
Martin,
is a response to
what is the evidence? Give us your evidence that there is that supreme being called God.
I think that if you allow me, I'd like to respond to what you say, then I can...
Yeah,
give.
Sure.
But maybe I would love also to ask, if it's okay, that we can do a helicopter flyover of many of the different issues, and then we can come back and engage in some of the issues deeply.
Yeah, sure.
That's so okay, if that's fine...
It's fine.
Because if we dig in only in one issue, we will not be able to...
Yeah,
capture
sure.
the breadth.
Uh-huh.
But allow me just respond to this point that Fat Boy has made. Number one, he is postulating that which I can't see now cannot exist.
Yeah, sure.
Give me a good reason, he says. Now, before the discovery of a telescope, people thought that the only thing that exists up there is just the sun, the moon, and a few stars. They did not understand that there was a whole universe out there, because of God's creation. Mm-hmm. Number two, so for you not to have a telescope does not remove the existence of realities which you cannot see with your physical eye. Mm-hmm. So when for you to say that God cannot be there because he can't be perfect. Now, Fat Boy is defining God based on Fat Boy.
No.
I said, let me finish. You said a being which is perfect cannot have needs. Then you said, for example, he needs to drink, he needs relationships, he needs to be worshipped, he needs these things. Now, when you define a supernatural being in terms of a natural being, you are discussing two different dimensions. And you are postulating the limitations of this one into another dimension, which is limitless.
I must interject. And this is where...
Please allow me to finish. Then you can come in and inject.
Okay. Two more minutes.
So, please, God is very different from us.
Yes.
But perhaps one of the... As I've been looking at atheists and looking at...
Humanists.
One of the things Fat Boy recently was saying, God is dead or God does not exist, so go ahead and enjoy your life. One of the major driving, compelling forces for atheists is not so much the absence of evidence, which is abundant around us. Stars, creation, perfection of everything. But one of the things is the inbuilt rebellion of accountability that a natural man like Fat Boy must account for each and every act that he is doing or is going to do in the sight of a greater being called God, with whom Fat Boy has to do. So when he says, go ahead, enjoy your life, he's actually giving you a license to do whatever. And I was very surprised when he came and says, please do right things, as Pastor says. I said,
let me bring him in.
Sanyu FM for 8 years.
James, I've read so much about free thinkers and I've followed the blogs of free thinkers. One of the things I know is that free thinkers, atheists, humanists, you believe more in the tangibility of things. You believe more in the evidence that you've seen and you've touched, and you know, the researches that have been made and the ideas that are shared. How do things like morality, how do things like ethics come about? Are they just social constructs? Are they just some things that, you know, have been thought about by Socrates and the rest of the guys and brought into this perspective?
Okay, that's a very interesting question. And I like that we're getting into ethics. It's my favorite topic. But just to quickly respond to some of what the pastor said.
Maybe if you could drive in, because we just have 5 more minutes.
Okay, just give me a minute to wrap it up, then, then I'll dive to your question. Uh-huh. Okay, so with regards to the example I gave with the way someone might describe a God, and I used, you know, the concept of perfection that someone might invoke, and how that might be contradictory. You see, I was proposing these as examples of ways one might define their God. Each believer will define their God in a different way. So it is, what I was saying is that...
So you are literally saying that there is a God.
If a believer defines their God with certain characteristics that are self-contradictory, that renders the existence of that particular God logically impossible. So it is not to say that this is how I define God, but if a certain believer defines their God in a particular way, then a logical disproof can be found of that God. It may not apply to all cases, but at least to that one. Then about the message of do whatever you want. God does not exist. You can do whatever you want. I think what Pastor Senpai is referring to is the image of a billboard that was going around. It was a billboard, wasn't it? There was a billboard campaign in the UK in which some humanists sent out messages saying, you know, there's probably no God, so go on and enjoy your life. Now, I am going to actually happily concede that it's quite possible that there are some non-believers who would rather there not be a God so that they can do whatever they want. Perhaps they have hedonistic tendencies, passions, and interests.
What is hedonism?
Where the aim of life is to just seek the maximum amount of pleasure for no other reason but for its own sake.
I know many people like that.
Okay. So it's quite possible that there are people like that who are drawn to the idea of there not being a God. I will happily grant that. There are people who posture to be non-religious because of bad experiences with religious institutions. Whatever psychological factor you might invoke, I grant that it is possible someone might claim to be a non-believer on those grounds.
Grant me this favor. We just have a couple of minutes in this place. Just a few minutes before we
okay,
break
but I just, let me just, just, add, let me just, let me just
bring, it, bring it to me, the issue of ethics and morality.
Okay.
How do we predetermine it? Is it something that we've constructed as beings, or is it something that is, you know, logically from a supreme being?
Right. Well, the way to approach this question is to look at nature. Start by looking at other animals, how they interact. You know, the social animals that form groups. You will begin to notice that they have certain mores and conventions. They have certain behavior that is considered acceptable, certain behavior that is not considered acceptable. Of course, these do's and don'ts are not written down or codified, but you see certain animals expressing some aversion to certain actions. If one monkey steals another monkey's banana, it will protest. Okay? And in social animals such as the groups of chimps and gorillas, we do see them treating these other friends of theirs who might be engaged in stealing of things with disdain, ostracization, sometimes outright violence. Even look at the relationship between mothers and children of animals. You will see that a mother will do everything she can to protect her young. I ask you, is it because animals have souls and spirits, or the love of God is guiding them to protect their children? No. As social animals, they are responding to their instincts, okay? They're acting on their instincts. And similarly, we human beings are social animals too.
What is an instinct?
Instinct is a drive to do something, where you feel a strong urge to do something, and it is something a reaction that is not thought through, but one which is
spontaneous.
More spontaneous.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. A reflex, if you will. Steal a crocodile's egg, it will chase you. Steal a chick, the hen will chase you. Are crocodiles and hens thinking through these things? No, it's just how they are wired in their brains, okay?
So our ethics and moral values have been instincts. These are reflexes that come from us as being human.
No, what I'm saying is that it gives us a good indication of where some of the aversions we have towards certain actions come from, and how some of the praise we reserve for other reactions, for other actions comes from. And that is a very important foundation of where you get ethics from. Now, the pastor is going to tell us that.
Let me talk mine.
Okay.
He's going to talk yours.
Yeah. Before he comes in, because in all this, I'm just wondering. Do you sometimes have this self-conscience, self-awareness? Where does it come from? Is it just also an instinct, a reflex, and you feel this awareness that something is happening, or you have this consciousness? Is it something that happens also out of reflex or your interaction with the outside environment?
Maybe I'm not understanding your question. Do you mean like... how we respond to various stimuli around us?
Not reacting to stimuli. Christians and other people who have different foundations react because they have moral foundations, moral values with which they react to. But if we have moral values coming out of instincts, How does your self-consciousness come up? Is it on any foundation, or it is just from a reflex?
When you say self-consciousness, I guess I'm just not understanding you. Do you mean the degree to which I seek to hold myself accountable to certain values?
Thank you.
Beholden to certain values?
Thank you.
More values. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, again, if you guys get cable TV, I invite you to watch the Discovery Channel, National Geographic. Just watch these documentaries in which they're showing you animal behavior. Particularly for... I have seen these shows, and that's why I'm sharing it with you, what I've learned from them. You will see various degrees of... there's heckling.
Please. We are in moderation, please. We are okay.
Okay, sorry that I paid attention to that. Okay, so what I'm saying is... There are different, how can I say, certain actions attract praise and certain actions attract disdain and condemnation. Now, it is in my self-interest to not perform actions that will attract disdain. Why? Because, well, I have a strong incentive to stay within I would wish to conform to the standards of the social group, because doing so renders me more likely to survive. It increases my chances of survival rather than if I maybe rebelled constantly. You know, I stole someone's food.
That is the consent I want to know. Where does that consent come from? Is it something that just is a reflex, or is it something that has an upper umbrella that brings it into being, and you feel this thing is inner? It comes from within. Fat boy, don't react to this.
But I want to respond. Okay. Fat boy has been speaking for a while. Let's ignore that one.
Let him wrap up in 1 minute, then we'll come to you, Pastor.
Okay, well, they've done studies to show that there are different parts of the brain that handle different tasks. So you have that part of the brain that is more sort of instinctive and more sort of emotion and stimulus driven. And then you have the other part that processes this information, the part of the brain that tries to evaluate consequences of those actions. Now, I'm submitting to you that it is the degree to which we're able to evaluate the outcomes of actions arising from our instincts that we can say we're able to make moral evaluations. People who do not have the intellect to be able to properly evaluate the consequences of their actions, we normally don't hold to the same standard. So, for example, if a person has been arrested for murder and is in court, you know, if his lawyer can demonstrate that the person was clinically insane, we usually do not treat the person with the same harshness as we would a person of sound mind, because there is a very important sense in which The ability to evaluate consequences of actions plays a role in determining whether or not we can call you a moral agent, which is also why we exempt children from these moral evaluations, because their capacity to evaluate consequences of actions is also not well developed. It
Pastor
develops
Martin.
With time.
Pastor Martin, moral values, and I want to thank you so much for giving us company up to this time. As we try to wrap up this session, now I'll be inviting up another session like this to continue this. Just morality, ethics.
I want to bring it to Makerere and Uganda. If a girl is making a decision whether she should abort so that she can continue her studies or she should keep the baby, okay, at that moment, she has to make a decision. Do I kill this baby so that I can appear like everything is okay and it's the easiest area of my life?
Sure.
My mother faced that decision in 1968. Okay. She had to choose between keeping me in a relationship that was going to put her in a jeopardy, because my father was not from her tribe. My father was of Asian descent. My mother was a Muganda. And she had to decide, And the Asians told her, no, Asians don't have children with Africans. The Africans said, no, you cannot have this child. And they told her, abort. My mother, being a good Catholic woman, she wasn't saved. My mother was a church-going Catholic woman, determined to keep me purely on the concept of life comes from God. I thank God that her fear of God was the reason that I survived, not convenience. When you look at Dr. Martin Luther King, who made a decision to fight against oppression of blacks in America at a risk of himself and even his life, because he knew he was going to die, he made an unpopular decision that people around him, if you're using animals do not have the capacity to lead based on issues of justice, issues of beauty, virtue. Animals lack this. I have dogs at my place. One dog wants to mate with its mother. We have to tie it up. I have goats. The he-goat wants to mate with its daughter. We have to buy a rope to keep this he-goat that keeps, you know, whatever going after its daughter. Now, to make decisions of morality based on the observations of animals, whether chimpanzees in this whatever island or gorillas in windy impenetrable forest, is going to create the havoc that we see today, where each person creates his own morality. But because we have faith in a God that is greater, who has revealed to us his book called the Bible, we have built the Magna Carta. That is the foundation of the English law. That is the foundation of our penal code. That is why we have what is called the basis of human rights. This is where dignity comes from. So, I am different from Fat Boy. I listen to different music than Fat Boy. I don't play that hip hop music, which is full of hedonism. I'm very interested. That's why I ask him what is define hedonism. Out of 10 songs that Fat Boy plays, I submit to you, 10 songs are hedonistic.
What about that song you were singing for us about your wife?
No, I'm not talking. I'm talking about the songs you play.
Didn't he sing a song about his wife?
You do not play that song.
Wasn't that a cool
you don't play that song.
We have to wrap up this.
But I want to come back to this last point.
Yes.
Fat Boy, for the last 8 years, has been at the center of playing the most hedonistic songs that we have in the country, or exported from America here. Do as you feel. So I was surprised, and I want to continue engaging with him, because if he himself finds difficulty with a hedonistic culture, then there is hope to bringing change in the music that Sanyo FM plays. With that, I submit my point.
Amen. Okay. Amen.
Just we are wrapping up this session, members, and I want you to first give them a big round of applause. Give them a round of applause. I want to thank you for coming and for everything.
Do I have any final words?
Just wrap up in just 30 seconds, then Musumba
okay.
will also wrap up.
I'm going to go back to a small issue I need to sort out. I only answered the question halfway and couldn't answer the other half because of time issues. And again, it touches on the issue of hedonism, where I told Pastor Sempa that I was quite happy to grant the possibility that there are some people who profess to be atheists simply because they have no interest in the confines of religion, the rules. They want to be free to do what they want, and religion might impose on them certain restrictions which they
have. You met them?
They do not care for. I have met people like that, yes. Mm. Now, at the same time, and you see, we must be consistent, and I'm going to challenge you to grant this too, that many people are also in church because it caters to their various psychological issues. For example, if I am a naturally oppressive person, I can appeal to scripture to justify the degree to which I might impose on you to not do something. Maybe I'm personally insecure. I do not feel confident. Well, it feels nice to have the belief that someone is looking after me. If I'm poor, I can pray and I get money. You know, I could be frail like that and not confident in my own abilities. Religion attracts a lot of people like that. Religion also attracts people who are superstitious, who are not keen to investigate things and are interested in ready answers. Religion invites or attracts people like that. So I think it would be fair for you to admit that even when it comes to religion, there are psychological reasons many people are religious. Fear of death. People don't, oh my goodness, what will happen when I die? I don't know. But this religion says you're going to be in heaven. Okay, that's the one I'm going for. That also brings people to religion.
Okay, Pastor Martin, thank you so much, Jameson. Pastor Martin, are we as human beings constructed with this desire to have a supreme being above us that we go to seek out, or it is just because of our insecurities that we go out to reach out to maybe religious festivities or when we join the church? Because I think there is, to you, there is a difference between being religious and being born again. Yeah, just go ahead and wrap it up.
Okay, for me, I have entered into covenant with God. Okay? I am not religious. I define myself as a weaker person who found a greater person. That greater person is called Almighty God. When two parties meet, whether in the past, present, or future, they cannot coexist on equal terms. America, Europe, China, Brazil, and I think a few others say we are all equal, but they have formed the G7 and the Security Council that runs the United Nations. And the rest of us, they determine for us where to go. We say, we are all equal, but they have determined for us and we submit to them. God is greater, and those of us, for me, I use the Luganda word, nakola omukago ne mukama. Natta omukago ne mukama. I entered into covenant with God and his protection over me, his power over me. I do not meet all my needs because my needs are beyond my capacity. Fat boy says he can meet his needs. Me, I can't.
Sorry.
Even people cannot meet my needs. Because there's a part of me that exists which cannot be met, whether by sex, music, drugs, dancing, party, it cannot be met. And that need is for my spirit to be reconciled with a greater God. And that makes me greater. I am stronger on my knees than when I'm fighting. I want to recommend a few books to Fat Boy. The first one I want to recommend is an old one, A Vision for a Bright Africa, by Professor George Chinoti. This was shaped the beginning of my intellectual pursuits of why is Africa so backward by a Christian professor. And I would like to, as I finish, read you a poem out of that. But George Kinoti, a Kenyan professor, excellent intellectual. I would like to recommend to you.
Are you giving me the books? Or
I can loan them to you. I have a library. I'm sure you do also.
Yeah, just recommending.
I would recommend to you another. This is from Hubble Space Telescope.
Okay.
This is the print of the images that have been found so far. The hand of God
illustration by Sharon Begley. These are photos from the Hubble Space Telescope.
Astronomers.
That showed the complexity and the design and the consistency of all which is there, but you can't see it with a human hand.
Pastor, let us wrap
quickly. And then I have over here, one of those is The Christian in Today's Culture by Charles Colson. He just passed away recently. But I found him to be quite helpful in terms of this worldview. When you talk about worldview, science, religion is religious people, just fanatics. I would recommend Charles Colson. Extremely helpful.
They're not fanatics.
That's the syllabus.
And then, most recent one.
Are you sure?
One which has just come out.
Yeah. A queer thing happened to America. And what a long, strange trip it has been. He's a man Professor Michael Brown. Yeah. He's a man wearing a woman's shoes in a toilet somewhere. A very up-to-date publication on the thinking, the atheism, the immorality of why homosexuality has taken and eaten America and Europe. Great book. One of the prime timers brought it back to me recently. Finally, two. This is the East Africa integration and the statistics and the data that's driving it. Most of it is built on trade. But the missing chapter is faith.
Maybe that's a good thing.
And the last book is this one. This one, I even would lend it to you tonight.
Looks like a diary.
I have read it, as you can see, I've read it many, many times over. And I greatly recommend you Romans chapter 1.
What does it say?
Let me read it for you.
Pastor, we'll have to wrap this
up. Are we out of time?
No, yeah, moderator, please, let him.
Okay. No, we are just out of time because we need to have good relations with the members of this press such that the next
time. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Let's say men, fat boy is without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. You know, I'm talking about looking at animals for guidance. And exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, evolution. I spell it E-V-I-L. Evolution, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is ever forever praised. Amen.
Wow. Thank you.
It is in the book of Romans, chapter 1.
As a free thinker,
I'll check it out.
As a free thinker, fat boy, by the time you are through with this, the year will be ending. Thank you so much for coming, ladies and gentlemen. Please give them another big round of applause. I want to thank you. I'm going to invite these people again next other time. We'll be having an extensive conversation in this place, an extensive debate, and this is key to... this is key to our intellectualism. Thank you so much. Please, the public lecture is there tomorrow. Now, this is part of it. This is about the Ugandan independence.